If you're someone who has a passion for cut flowers, our environment, and wants to make the world more beautiful, you're in the right place. Whether you're growing flowers for pleasure or profit, I'm on a mission to empower flower enthusiasts and professionals to help change the world around them. Whether you're just starting out and need a helping hand, or are looking to scale a substantial flower business, I'm your cut flower woman. Welcome to the Cut Flower Podcast. Thank you very much. I am so delighted to welcome Lee Chappell to our podcast today. Lee is a floral designer, a photographer, and a stylist. And I have followed you for many years, actually, on Instagram. And I think your work is breathtaking.
Thank you.
It really is. So can you tell our listeners a little bit about you? I know I've done my little spying, and I found out that you were born in Wales, or you lived in Wales.
Yes.
And then you became a graphic designer.
Yes.
And then you went into floristry. So all very creative. So tell me about your career and how you got to where you are today.
Okay. So basically, because I grew up on the Gower Peninsula, very small village on the Gower Peninsula, and I think I was probably very inspired. I've always loved flowers, but I was always very inspired by what I saw growing around me, the wild that was growing around me. And I said to myself, one day I'm going to be a florist. And then I thought, that's very hard in Swansea, very, very hard in Swansea. There are about two, I think. So then I decided, it kind of came about that I ended up going to art college and doing botanical illustration.
Wow.
So still linked, still very, you know, floral, but I always, I love drawing as well. So I went to art college, and as art college progressed, I thought, I've learned all this thing about design. I want to actually use it now. So I decided I'd come to London and look for work. So I got a job, came to London, didn't know a soul, came and found myself a job. And gradually over the years, I mean, I worked in graphics for 20 years altogether. The way it works out. And I reached a point where once I'd had my kids, and I thought, it's very difficult, because I was freelance, it's very difficult getting childcare on an ad hoc basis.
Yeah.
So then I decided I did this funny little floristry course, which wasn't a typical floristry course. It was one day a week, and it was something like 25% floristry, 75% horticulture.
Okay.
So, and I think, I mean, that was a very short, it was just a year, one day a week for a year. I really loved it. I absolutely loved it. And then I decided I needed to, you know, actually work with someone who worked in floristry. And I worked for this lady called Fleur Parkinson for about 6 months, who did weddings, solely weddings, very natural style. And then we got to a point there where she said, I'm moving to Cornwall. Would you like Would you like to take my weddings for next year? So that's what happened. I it was like brimstone and fire, really.
Yeah, absolutely.
So took on her weddings, and once you start doing your own weddings, it was a gift, really, to be given those weddings. Once you start and you get into it, you know, you kind of run with it then, and I really enjoyed it. So that's where I started.
Yeah, 20 weddings is quite a lot, isn't it? Yeah, not half. But it, like the style, you're into the style and into the natural wedding. So it's kind of just carrying on from there.
Yes.
So I came across you, obviously, at Strawberry Hill. And I realised that this year has been your fifth year. This is the first year I've been, which is criminal because I'm not that far away.
Oh.
And obviously it's a sustainable florist event, and it's all about British growing and British flowers. And it was stunning, absolutely stunning. There were just some. I mean, I was going around looking at the mechanics.
Yes.
I couldn't resist it. And, like, some of the window ledges had those little
milk bottles on, but they were staged. So it was fabulous the way they'd done it. And I was thinking, wow, what a great idea for a church window, or what a great idea. You can't resist it.
Yeah.
So tell us about Strawberry Fair. Where did it start? What was this mad thing you decided to do?
Well, basically it started because I live very near Strawberry Hill House. And they asked me to do flowers for a very large event called Lost Treasures, which was getting all of Horace Walpole's art that had been lost because his relatives gambled the money away over the years. And they wanted to get all his art back to the house, which they did. And anyway, I was asked to do flowers for the opening event. And they asked me if I'd like to go along in the evening.
Wow.
And I was standing there, and David Attenborough opened it, the event. And I thought, oh my God, I am so relieved that my urns don't have foam in them. You know? So that's what kind of sparked the, I mean, I had been working sustainably to that point anyway. And then Claire Layton, who is the event manager at Strawberry Hill House, after that event, she said to me, we're trying to think of things, events to have at Strawberry Hill House. We don't want inertia after Lost Treasures, which was a massive success. And we're trying to change the demographic slightly, you know, have a mix of ages, not just the older folks who tend to go there, but to attract the younger people as well. So I said, have you thought of possibly having a flower festival, but a sustainable flower festival? Because, you know, for us, the thought of a flower festival seems, you know, triangles and what have you. So a more modern take on a flower festival. So she said, well, we'll give it a try. We'll see what happens. And neither of us really knew if it would work or not. And I worked with Jan Ford.
Yes, who's been on my podcast.
That's right. Yes. I'd worked with Jan. And I said to Jan, what do you think? If we drive it with social media, of course, her being a photographer and social media up there, you know, we thought that would be a way of promoting it in and amongst Instagram and in our world. So Jan, thankfully, was interested in doing it with me. And the first year we had to beg friends to do it.
Did you?
We did, because we had Bridget Girling from Moss and Stone. We had Fiona Pickles.
Wow.
And then we wanted to get younger people along as well. And we had Wild Renata and various people who made it really beautiful, but on a very small scale that first year. And then the second year it had to go online because of COVID. And then third year, it increased a bit, but they still had restrictions COVID-wise. And that's when we started chatting to Flowers from the Farm. Liz Anderson came and asked if we'd be happy to take part with Flowers from the Farm. As it happens, quite a lot of people were part of Flowers from the Farm anyway. Because I, the first year I worked with Wolf's Lane, who apart, and Sarah of Nettlewood Flowers. She was, I mean, in fact, it was her flowers I was buying initially because she lived near me. And then she very selfishly went and lived down in Sussex. But
they moved, don't they?
I know.
And it's like Wolf's Lane has finished as well.
Oh, no, I'm so sad.
That's quite sad. I'm sad about that. That was an urban flower farm.
And it was fabulous. It was absolutely lovely. I loved the feel to it. But, you know, I suppose these things happen. But, yeah, so anyway, it's kind of gathered a bit of speed. And this year, I mean, our big aim for Strawberry Hill House, in a way, I guess it's almost like almost a mission statement, that what we want to do is show people generally what you can do using British flowers, how you don't have to use floral foam, how creative floristry is, it's an art form, and how beautiful they can actually be. So that's one part to it. Then the other part to it is, the other thing we want people to see is that the mix of people who exhibit there, they all have very different styles.
Yeah, 100%.
Yes, yeah, so some are very arty, some are very floral, some are very garden. So expressing their artistic styles is another side to it. And then the third part to it for Jan and myself is that we have a mix of growers, florists, and at different levels. So we have some starry names. We have middle ground people who are very good in sort of, you know, weddings and the business. And then the new people coming through, who they're the future of it all, really. But a lot of those people are unsung heroes. So they never get seen.
No.
They might freelance for other people.
Yeah.
But they're all individually very, very good at what they do. And then, of course, the growers who are slogging away, fighting the elements, pests and everything else. It doesn't just magically happen. There's a lot of work.
No, it doesn't. I mean, my team are here today. There are three of them. And they are mulching dahlias, putting straw over the top, putting carpets, moving eucalyptus and petersporum into the tunnel, have done all the seedlings for the autumn sowing. We're now preparing tulips to go into the ground. None of it magically happens. None of it. It's like, I think we're like almost like fashion designers, where we plan a year in advance and we go, okay, what do we want next year? Right, we want 300,000 stems. How are we going to get 300,000 stems, and what are we going to plant, and when are we going to do it, and how are we going to do it? And I think being a flower farm and having done it for nearly 13, 14 years now, I think it's one of the hardest jobs you'll ever do, because you invest loads of money, you put all the stuff in the soil, you haven't even sold it yet, you don't know what you're doing with it, you don't know whether it's going to work. I don't know any other profession that would invest all that money and not know that they're going to get anything.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I completely understand. I think what happened was I joined Flowers from the Farm thinking, because of my wild flower interests.
Yeah.
I joined Flowers from the Farm, and my goodness, that's where I met Sarah of Nettlewood Flowers. And I just think, I mean, I adore flowers, but I couldn't be a professional grower. I don't have the patience, the knowledge, and the ability to go forward thinking all those things could be eaten by slugs next year. So I take my hat off to you. I really do.
I know, it's a crazy world, but yeah, lovely, but crazy.
Yes.
So you're, what are you doing now? How do you access locally grown blooms in London? Because I think the biggest problem for British flower growers and Flowers from the Farm and the whole industry is that the only way this industry is ever going to expand past the size it is now is to get British flowers in the hands of florists.
I agree.
And the only way that's going to work is loads of collaboration, loads of cooperatives, loads of distribution, solving the distribution problem. And I've seen it done in the States really well. They do cooperatives really well. They do that collaboration really well. We've not kind of managed it. I've seen a few people do it in Devon, and I think there's a Scottish group doing it. But actually, my dream would be to have some sort of industrial unit on the north side of London where you could take all the stuff in on a Wednesday, refrigerate it. Florists could go online, as they currently do with the Dutch markets, and go and order what they absolutely want. 50 cornflowers, 25 hydrangeas, it's all there ready for them. And that they might have had to use two or three growers because one grower might have hydrangeas in white and not in blue. So it's kind of like, what do you think? Do you agree that the whole British flower industry will only work if we sort that out?
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
A small business? Do reels get you reeling? Is SEO just a three letters put together? Content planning something you know you should be doing, but just never get around to it? Do join our Growth Club online. What is it? It's a supportive community It's all about growing your business. It provides trainings and guest speakers join us every month. Is it time to work on your business and not in it? The link for more information is in the show notes.
Yes, absolutely. Because I work with Andy at the Flower. Andy at the Chobham Flower Farm.
Right.
This year she supplied all my flowers for my weddings, but she pulls in flowers from other suppliers as well. She gets it all for me, but yeah. It will come from. Homestead and all sorts of other, Tracy Bridger at Hedgerow and Bloom. She gets lots.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah. And because she's very good at curating, you know, more of a style, really. I think Andy now knows exactly what I like. So, but you see, the other thing is that I suppose I'm quite happy to work in a way that, when I see my brides, I say to them, look, this is what I do. This is how I do it. Don't tell me exactly what kind of flower you want. Just give me a colour area. And I actually like a mix of lots of different types of stem. I think it's just the way I work. But I agree with you in that somehow there has to be these little collectives where you can, you know, forward plan and say, look, in August, I am going to need however much, you know, the budget is in white.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I think I learned over the years about selling to brides as well, about not exactly like you say, you can't sell, I'm going to have 15 Queen of Sweden roses and I'm going to have 10 patients and, oh, I've got some cornflowers in white. You kind of can't do that. Yeah. And you kind of can get them to send their pictures of the images of the kind of stuff they like to get the feel. But past that, it's a colour palette, as far as I'm concerned. It's about, we'll pick the best stuff on the best day to produce. And that's an education. That's a big thing.
Yes, definitely, definitely. And I wonder, I'm not sure if it's just the way I work, because I like the bendy, twisty stems. And I actually like, I never make my table centres the same. They're all different. So I've changed the way I work since I've been using British flowers. When you buy Dutch, you can have, you can go in with a recipe for your table centres. You know, I'll have five peonies, six of those, eight of those, three of those, whatever. I don't do that anymore. I buy to a value.
Yeah.
And then I take out the flowers for my bouquets and then I split them for my table centres or whatever. But I like the fact they're all slightly different.
Like wonky veg, isn't it? There's nothing wrong with wonky veg. British flowers will never stand up straight and they'll be more beautiful, but they will never do as they're told.
Yes.
And florists getting used to that, because if you've got a florist who hasn't really used British flowers before, that's quite challenging.
Yes. Yes. It's a learning curve. It's a learning curve. But I remember the first time I had flowers from Sarah. Because of my background and my interest in botanical things, you know, when you're unpacking flowers from Holland, and I'm not decrying Holland because they do a great job, but when you get the British flowers and you see this little curly stem and it's got a scent, and that, for me, you know, I was whizzing off with each little stem, thinking, oh, I must take a picture of that, you know, whatever. So that appeals to me very much.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Kind of like, yeah. So I think more collaboration, more co-optives, more distribution. I started it slowly this year because I don't live that far from London. So we were serving florists in North London. So we were taking a van load because we grew 30,000 tulips madly last year.
Good.
So
God.
We kind of grew them all and then thought, oh, goodness, I think we need to sell these. So yes. We filled the van up one day and drove it into London, really sort of off spec, and went to Scarlet and Violet, or Violet and Scarlet. I can't remember which way around it is.
Yes.
So drove to meet Vic, and she was really busy and really harassed. And I said, look, I've got these tulips. They're in the back of the van. It's almost like I felt like a secondhand glazing salesperson. So do you want to come outside and have a look? So I haven't really got time, but okay then. And she came out and she went, I love the lot.
Oh, wow.
I love the whole lot. She said, I've never seen anything like it. Yeah. And our tulips were 1.2 metres.
Oh, wow.
So she was like, they were gorillas. They were in that dark purple colour. And we had probably 10 varieties, but they were all really tall. And she said, I'll have all of those. And she said, and can you bring me the same lot on Friday? And we did that all season. So, yeah, brilliant, really brilliant. So it was just like, take a risk, fill the van up, get down the motorway and see if you can sell them. And then we did some London markets like Marylebone, sold out, completely sold out. So it's about having the right variety, the kind of right thing a florist wants to buy.
Yes.
Something unusual that doesn't look like a tulip, so they think it's a peony. And it was the best thing we ever did.
Well, actually, you know, sometimes as a florist, I think that sometimes you don't know what you want till you see it.
No.
And to be quite frank, I think growers have said to me, have you ever seen this before? Would you like, you know, to try this? And they're things that I've never seen or used before. And I would say that usually I love whatever the suggestions being that I might like to try.
Yeah.
And it's broadened my knowledge. Working with growers definitely broadened my knowledge. So I think it's a great partnership. But I do think that there are lots of florists. I know a few florists who are very nervous of using British flowers. But it needs is some sort of experimental situation where they can try them and get to know, them. If there was some sort of way that could be set up, I don't know.
I think there's another event there that you could set up. Maybe another one at Strawberry Hill just for London florists.
Well,
London florists, come and try it for a day.
This is what we did this year. Well, we've had workshops every year. But this year I did one, Bria Studio did one, and Sophie of Unidentified Floral Object did.
Yes, she's been on my podcast. Yeah, I love her.
Yes, she's great. So it's really interesting that, you know, it's not a massive number of people that have used, it's a reasonably big number of people that have used British flowers. But there are lots more out there who haven't.
Yeah, I think there's something in there.
Yeah, yes. Well, that's we're planning for next year already. So maybe
you're planning Strawberry Fair next year?
Yeah, maybe you need to come and have a little word. Or when you're
I think so. Definitely. I'm sure there's something there about how do we get more florists? How do we get British flowers in the hands of florists? How do we do it, number one? And number two, how do we make them comfortable with what they've got and what they're using? And number three, it's a change of mindset because it's harder. Using British and sustainable is harder. Yes. Using Oasis in Dutch, no problem.
No, to be honest.
And there are some products coming over from the States, which I've been involved in a podcast with. And I've spoken to a lady who works for Floam. I think And they're now just about to patent it and they're just about to start distribution of it. And I think it's a floral foam which is sustainable. So that'll be really interesting. Yeah. And also it kind of the market, that would be interesting to see how the market takes that. I think people like Shane Connolly has got it at the moment, but I'm keen to see where that works.
Yes.
So I think it's definitely moving.
Yes.
But too slowly. It needs to move a bit quicker.
Yes. Well, let's talk again before next September.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
What's the date next September of Strawberry Fair? Have you got the date?
14th to the 16th of September.
Fab. Okay. Yep, we'll talk. Yeah. And your workshops available are on your website, are they? Have you planned 2024?
They're usually available on my website. I haven't updated it lately. I've had such a busy summer this year. It's been absolute chaos. And in fact, the next thing is Andy of the Chobham Flower Farm and I are doing a little demo at the Garden Museum on Saturday. I think it's the 9th of December.
Yes, it is.
Oh, thanks. You know better than me. And how, yeah, you can create a tablescape using British flowers, winter flowers. So
wonderful. Well, people have a look on your website, so we need to update it. Let's have a look at your website.
I do need to update it, actually.
So what's been your biggest challenge, do you think, in getting to where you are today?
My biggest challenge? I think my, I used to work with a lady called Lillian Highmore, and she and I had a flower shop together. And I would say a flower shop was our biggest challenge. We tried to have garden flowers. It was 8 years ago now. We tried to sell garden flowers, and people in this part of West London just weren't interested. They didn't get it.
No.
So we decided, I mean, little did we realise at the time, if we'd stuck it out, it would have taken off. But after 3.5 years, of trying to sell garden flowers, people just didn't get them at all. Yeah. The big peony heads and the big roses.
Big sort of almost corporate looking stuff. Yeah.
I honestly,
I take my hats off to anybody who has a shop. And certainly now, I think a high street florist is extremely challenging. And that the rates, the rent, the fridge. I mean, there's one close to us that I supplied. It was only a mile from my front door. And it had survived 15 years and went out of business this year. So it's really sad. Yeah. So, but looking, I helped her and I looked at her books and it just didn't add up.
No.
We went and had a cup of coffee and I went, this isn't working. This is not working.
It's got me hangover, isn't it?
It was awful. Mm-hmm. So who's your inspiration? Who gets you up in the morning? Come on, let's get going. We've got to go and do this wedding. We've got to do this workshop. We've got to come up with some more.
I think who gets me going? Interestingly, I think it's, I know this is going to sound weird, but I think it's what's in the garden, and not just my garden particularly, but just what's out there gets me going. I think I look at things, I walk the dog and I think, oh, look at that just now, or, you know, things. Garden centres, country walks, city walks, anywhere where there's foliage and flowers to look at, that's what does it for me.
Yeah, I agree. I absolutely agree. Yeah. Mm. So, three quick questions. What's your favourite flower?
I don't have one. I love them all. I can't think of a flower I actively dislike because I think they all have their place and they all say different things.
The only ones I dislike are lilies because they remind me of death, particularly. Yeah. Don't know why. It must be a childhood thing. Or carnations. No fan.
It's funny, isn't it? See, Andy at the Chobham Flower Farm had the most beautiful, pinks.
Pinks. Did you have pinks? Yeah, okay.
And I think it's because my grandmother used to grow them. And I look at them and I just think, oh, I love those.
It's a memory. Flowers are memories, aren't they, really? They're definitely memories.
Yeah.
So what did you want to do when you were growing up then, when you were at school? What did you go to the careers officer? Do you remember we had those careers officers?
I remember mine.
I wanted to be a doctor, and he said I wasn't clever enough. I should go and be a pharmacist or something. And I was really insulted, so I didn't do either. But I remember they're not very good at giving you careers advice. But what did you do?
Interestingly, they told me I should be an occupational therapist.
There you go.
But I think, you know how everybody says there's always one teacher at school that you remember, and it was my art teacher. And I
loved
her, Stella Reese. My God, she was amazing. And she inspired me all the way. Anything, painting flowers, she was amazing. Yeah.
Isn't it funny how you even remember the name of the teacher that inspired you? And it must be amazing to be that teacher that inspires the next generation. I mean, hats off to being a teacher, my goodness. We all remember that. I remember the maths teacher was really strict, but everyone was really good at maths. And I remember the ones that let you get away with murder that you never learned anything from. It's quite funny. So if you won the lottery, what would you do now? What would you do today? You've just won 200 million. That'd be nice.
Well, I think my working situation has always been, or at least my previous working situation, was very much in teams. And I like working with a big group of people.
Yeah.
So I think partially, I think what I'd like to do is work with growers and other florists. But I think what I'd like to do is explain to other people how sometimes floristry can be a form of therapy. Playing with flowers can be a form of therapy. So I know that if I try and do some sort of minimalistic arrangement along the Ikebana line, you can lose yourself completely in that. And I think people suffering from a variety of awful situations, you can do something like, flower arranging. Well, as we know, gardening is, therapeutic. But I do think there's a lot there that can be helpful for people.
100%. I've done quite a lot of research on it. And I've got a daughter who's a psychotherapist and counsellor and works with adolescents with addiction, so bulimia, anorexia, kind of alcohol, drugs, all that kind of thing. And we've talked a lot about it, but it's that whole, and I've done quite a lot of podcasts and talked to a lot of people about mental health and gardening and mental health and floristry. And just that, wouldn't it be lovely to have a school, to have some sort of sustainable floristry school where people came and just immersed themselves for a couple of hours each week, where they just enjoyed flowers. I mean, that would be my dream too. Yeah. So when we both win the lottery, then
sign me up.
We can have this school. We can have this sustainable floristry school. That would be amazing, wouldn't it? That would be really amazing.
Yeah. And the other thing, very selfishly, I would love a little place in Wales so I can keep my connections.
I think if you come, I've got somebody who works for me who comes from Wales, and we've done quite a lot of work with Welsh Government actually, where they sponsored a lot of people on our courses for them to become flower farmers. So she's obviously Welsh, and it's still Welsh roots, still Welsh, loves something in Wales, still was born in Wales, can't take the Welsh out of her whatsoever.
No, you can't. I've got one foot in each place, that's the thing.
you could have a sustainable farm, couldn't you? Wales, that'd be lovely, wouldn't it?
I know I'd be rubbish at the growing, though, you see. I know I wouldn't be good at it. It's like having...
You'd have a team, because you've got the lottery running. You'd be fine.
That's true. That would be all right.
Well, Liz, it's lovely to meet you.
Yes,
let's
you
talk
too.
More about Strawberry Fair. That would be lovely.
Yes.
And keep in touch, and we'll let you know when this is live and aired. And thank you very much for joining us today.
Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, it's been real. We could talk all afternoon, couldn't we?
Yeah, definitely.
I look outside your window, I'm thinking of that yellow there. I'm thinking, I can have some of that. It's terrible. You go around with your snippers and go, oh, I'll have some of that. I'll have some of that.
Ninja.
So this should be uploading now. It should be uploaded when it says 100%.
I look forward to next week's episode. Please don't forget to subscribe and rate and review on your podcast app. We do have some wonderful free resources on our website at thecutflowercollective.co.uk. We also have two free Facebook communities, which we'd love you to join. For farmers or those who want to be flower farmers, we have Cut Flower Farming, Growth and Profit in Your Business. And our other free Facebook group is Learn with the Cut Flower Collective for those starting out on their flower journey. All of the links are below. I look forward to getting to know you all.